Podcasting 2.0 for November 3rd, 2023, episode 153, Chapter Ho! Hello! Hello, everybody. It's time once again for your weekly board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, everything happening in the modern podcast space. Yes, we are the only boardroom where a vote of no confidence is a good thing. Everything happening at podcastindex.org with the namespace, of course, all the goings-on at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. Ladies, he's had 989 days of uptime. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
The servers have had uptime.
I'm sorry.
My body is downtime.
You're still sick, huh?
I'm full Tiny Tim. I've gone all the way back. Like I have that little crutch with the stick. You know,
yeah, under your armpit stick.
Yeah. When I blow my nose, like seriously, when I blow my nose, it looks like a crime scene. It's like a murder scene around here.
I think you have this every year, don't you? It's kind of an annual thing for you.
Oh yeah, it's my annual. I got COVID on Halloween.
Oh no,
I got shingles on Halloween.
Oh, that was 3 years ago. 3 years ago.
My annual appointment. Look, so I'm trying this new thing. Okay, this is great.
I bet it's great. Okay, what new thing do you have going on?
So I go to the ENT. Here's my typical strategy. So I give it a week, and then if I'm not getting better by day seven,
you call 911.
I just drive to the emergency room. I go to the ENT, and it's always a bacterial infection, like a sinus infection, antibiotic. You know, bada bing, bada bing. Mm-hmm. So I go, and I talk to him. He's like, hey. You know, I would like to try something different with you this year. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, right.
And he's like, we've got this compounding pharmacy.
Usually a good thing.
I like them. Yeah. I do. I like those guys.
Yeah.
He's like, we got this compound. So it's like an antibiotic. You got a neti pot? I'm like, yeah, I love neti pot. He's like, get your distilled water, put your saline pack in the neti pot. And then you open a capsule of this compounded stuff and drop it in there and mix it up. And then you neti pot yourself with that. And it's got an antibiotic and a steroid in the compound. Mm. So he's like, do that twice a day for 15 days.
All right.
So I start yesterday and I'm like, I did it twice yesterday, once this morning. I get to work this morning and everybody's like, man, your face is like cherry red. What's wrong?
Oh,
like,
no. Allergic reaction?
Something, dude.
Oh, no.
My face is like bright red. It looks like it's all chapped and red.
Oh.
And so I had to call them, the pharmacy. I'm like, hey, I'm having some sort of reaction.
Like you have leprosy.
So now I'm walking around on the Tiny Tim crutch. You know, with like the red face. And I'm like, you know, it's a disaster over here.
I'm so a
personal
sorry.
Disaster. Right
You're
now.
On the prayer list, brother. This is no good. We got to call in the big guns for this one.
Look for my obituary. Just keep a heads up.
He was tiny, but his name wasn't Tim. There you go. Hey, man, I want to start off by saying something. I saw what Jason was doing with Podcast Guru, and I'm like, you know, I really ought to try Podcast Guru. Now, I'm on an Android derivative, which is known as Graphene OS. So, basically, it's Android.
Holy, I like the term Android derivative.
Derivative. Holy crap. Podcast great Guru app. Is phenomenal.
Great
yes.
App.
I mean, it's just be, I don't know what everyone else is, because I'm using Podverse and Fountain. But Podcast Guru is snappy. You know, it really responds well. Is it some other programming language that's being used there that's more native to Android, or what is that? Why am I noticing the snappiness difference?
I don't know what his build like environment looks like. I mean, Android is natively Kotlin, I think, now, which is basically Java. Mm. I don't know what he would be doing.
It's just amazing. I have a couple. Let me give a couple of pieces of feedback for Jason since I'm talking about it. Okay. One, I get no lit alerts. I don't know if that's if I should be expecting it, but I mean, it live items, it does fine. It should. Oh no, it shows.
I did not get the bat signal for this show, by the way.
Well, I sent it out. Mm. You didn't get a bat signal?
No.
Mm-mm. Let me double check. Make sure everything's okay. Yeah, saved, published. Okay, let me double check. Published. All right. Let me send it again. I've been having some weird issues, like Boostagram Ball. Okay, Dred Scott didn't get it either. Maybe I messed it up. Let's find out. Could it be? You know, I don't know. Who knows? But I know I haven't been getting lit alerts. And it'll show up fine, like episode is live in 2 minutes, 1 minute, does all that, but it doesn't fire off. All the other alerts work perfectly. I mean, right away, boom, I get alerts.
Oh, I just got it.
You just got it now? Okay.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Well, I fired it off again. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Okay. I don't know, but I still don't have one for Podcast Guru.
I just got it on John... on the podcast index, like the podcast live.
Yeah, which is a surefire way to know it's working. Couple of things. I've noticed this in general. This is also for the Get Albie guys. When connecting my wallet to a podcast app, and the only two I have to do that in is, it's actually Curiocaster, Podverse, and now Podcast Guru. The setup sometimes, man, it can take a long time before it finally goes through. Before, you know, it just sits there, gives you no visual cues that it's waiting to authenticate or whatever it's doing. It fails a lot. They still have disconnects. Man, the split kit, sometimes I have to, you know, I'll be saving stuff and like it didn't save it because the login timed out or something. There's something going on with the Get Albie times you out, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I agree. It's general, like in Podverse, a lot of times I had to re-log into Podverse a lot.
Yeah.
Quite a bit, because I'll just notice that the boost button's not showing up.
Yeah.
I'll have to go reconnect my Albie wallet.
And that's another thing with Podcast Guru. Not my expected behavior. Maybe it's not a bad thing, but you have to specifically opt into every podcast to send sats.
You don't have an account, so to speak.
Well, when you're streaming sats, it'll say it right there and you can set it manually for your session, but that doesn't keep it going for the next session. And if you're not paying attention, like, oh, I wasn't streaming any sats. I feel really stupid now. And I understand that, you know, maybe not having it automatically. But I mean, if I've gone through the time of setting up my default streaming sats and my default boost, I'm thinking like everything that is a V for V should be default on, but it's default off. It's okay. Now, there's also no way to see what my wallet amount is.
Podcast Guru?
Yeah, yeah. So but I think that's something that should be in there. I'm just spouting this off, Jason, just because we happen to be here. I just wrote down this list. Like, let me talk about this. Right. Also, I think he's batching sat sent. So it's very confusing when I see 500 sat sent. I'm like, oh, is that per minute? Because I set it to 200. But I think it's a batch, which is okay. But you know, what are you drinking?
This is Liquid Death sparkling water.
Oh, sweet. What's wrong with you? Don't be drinking Liquid Death. This is not good stuff.
This is leftover from the Halloween party.
Oh, that's horrible. Is it all caffeine or amphetamines or something?
It's nothing just, but water. Oh,
just pure water? Okay.
But it's got a huge skull on it. So it makes me feel
good. It makes you feel ready for the journey.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pumped. Go.
So that there's also no way to see the splits, and here's the big one for me, the wallet switching. So it'll say in the amount sent, it'll say TS, which is I'm like, oh, that must mean time split because I'm listening to a podcast with music, but you know, it means say something else. I mean, this is wallet switched or whatever, or, you know, or show me who else it went to. Cause I want to know the artist got it. So it's just some minor stuff. But just,
let me add that Cast-O-Matic, you know, of course, iOS only, but Cast-O-Matic, like I rarely ever have my Albi wallet disconnected in Cast-O-Matic.
Hmm.
I mean, I go weeks without having to like to reconnect my wallet.
So okay. Oh,
I'm not sure what Franco's doing differently than what maybe Mitch and Jason are doing, but it's like that connection, that token or authorization token, unless Franco's just renewing it silently in the background, like it is long. It seems to be much longer lived in Cast-O-Matic than it is in the other apps.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. And also if you don't know it's disconnected, you don't know, you know, that's another thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think these may be general comments just that everyone should take a look at. And like, mm-hmm. I know it's not like you're busy or anything doing stuff.
There's nothing going on,
nothing else you got to be working on. But these are just little things. I love the way Podverse shows it. Podverse really shows it well. But Podverse, mm-hmm. then conversely, when you hit the boost button, it can take a long time before you get some satisfaction before you get to your confetti. Podcast Guru, by the way, does lightning bolts and all kinds. And all I'm missing is a thunderclap. Yeah. And then I think it just, you know, it just does that and then does it in the background and figures it out for you, which I think is a better user experience.
That's what CurioCaster does too. You get confetti. Like
right away. You get confetti. Yeah.
You get satisfied immediately.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I want to welcome my buddy Cody from Kerrville, who got his side stream music podcast up on RSS Blue without me having to help him at all.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's a real man right there.
I think Dovidas helped him out, he said, "Hey, Dovidas, listen to it." He said it sounded great. But yeah, no, I love him for doing that. So he does the morning show on what is it? See, now I forgot. Oh, the Rock of Texas.
The Rock of Texas.
And man, he knows a lot of these value for value guys. A lot of them. So, oh, nice. Yeah, he's doing, he got interviews going on, all kinds of stuff. So,
oh, we need a, he's a pipeline then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Oh, he's been onboarding a lot of people.
That's great.
So, he's on rssblue.com. I see that podhome.fm just launched today, I think, which also,
oh, I missed that. I didn't see that.
Yeah. Podhome.fm also has value time split, magic wallet switching technology.
So, I've been talking with I think his name is Barry. Is that right?
Yes, Barry. Yep, Barry.
Yeah, I've been talking with him. You know, I helped him with index stuff and getting set up with API keys and all that kind of stuff. I did not know that they had launched. That's great.
Yeah, and he has, I think he even has a music lookup thing, just like rssblue.com has. Oh, yeah. You know, I just love that it's working, that people get it. It's like, oh, okay, I understand how to do this. Fantastic.
That tells me that it's not... of course, it's complicated, but that's complicated in quotes. I mean, you know, lots of stuff is complicated. I feel this way about ActivityPub too. I feel like people get really freaked out over sort of a more in depth protocols like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really at the end of the day, if you sit down and really bang it out, it's not that hard,
right?
You know, I mean, it's still just because if it was that complicated. Nobody would do it. I mean, right. Like in case in, you know, exhibit A, you know, web monetization or whatever that crap was,
mm-hmm.
that you had to have like a PhD, you know, in order to understand the white paper. Nobody does it. So the fact that people are doing this, coming in sort of a little blind and doing it kind of off the, you know, without a lot of handholding is encouraging.
Yeah, and I think there's also a general thinking that no one will ever, you know, do this. It's V for V is too hard. It makes no sense. People don't. In fact, okay, a little bit of feedback for the podcast weekly review boys.
Okay.
All right, I was doing my show prep. So there's this ongoing. I'm boosting in. I'm saying you can't do micropayments with Apple Pay. And Apple can't do them. And James is just like, Adam's wrong. I'm sorry. Adam's wrong here. But I'm not wrong, because you have to, the whole reason Lightning exists in a way, Bitcoin, is because they can't do that. They can't, they would have to have a bank charter, which will probably never be approved by a regulator. You know, this is why I'm curious to see how Elon Musk will do it. The only thing I can think he can use is FedNow, but even then he'll have to piggyback on some other bank, because you can't, Apple can't just start doing micropayments because you gave them all your money. You know, there's money laundering, there's all kinds of stuff that they then have to do, and it goes on their balance sheet. No, the hard no, it's not going to happen. You know, this is why Lightning is such a, so beautiful. And so to keep hammering on, no one will ever do it until it's dollars and fiat money. No, it's just not going to happen. It won't. You know, go look at how the money system works in America. It has to be, you know, the buy now, pay later. That's MasterCard. You know, the Apple credit card, that's Goldman Sachs. And boy, they want to get rid of that business. It's so bad. Everyone's defaulting.
Well, Fed, you know, FedNow came out with a bang, and it's just like, I've seen nothing. I mean, is there any adoption of FedNow?
Well, there was a big conference in Vegas, like the Money 2020 conference or something like that. Oh yeah, I think it'll show up. It may be what X implements, but just so you know, it's like it's not a matter of that Apple technically couldn't, you know, do your account, but they don't do your account. That's all banks that do that. They are only middleware between you and your own bank. They don't have an account.
They have to be a bank.
No.
I think what X wants to be is a bank, right?
Yeah. They want to be. Good luck.
But that's different than Google and Apple. Those things, Google Pay, Apple Pay, all that stuff. Like you said, those are using banks the same way that, Cash App does.
Yeah, and exactly. They have a banking license, a bank charter. By the way, things are really cracking wide open. Did you see Strike's announcement?
Now, Strike's thing to me is how this evolves into the thing that James is talking about with using dollars.
Yes.
You bet you pay, because I mean Strike's whole thing really ultimately is send money, but use Lightning as the substrate.
Mm-hmm.
And that is doable.
But also you can do direct deposit to Strike. You can wire money. You can do all kinds of things with Strike. Now you can set it up so that, you can pay in Lightning payments and it's deducted immediately from your debit card. And of course, he's on the inside, right? His parents are big in the financial industry, so he's got all the connections and the legal. I'm talking about Mallers.
Jack Mallers.
Yeah, so he's got all of that set up, and it's great, you know. So, but this is really mainstreaming, and if you'll see what's happening with Bitcoin, and I pay attention to these things. It's part of what I do. And all you're hearing now from the financial markets is, well, Bitcoin's a safe haven. You know, they're treating it as a legitimate, I'll say asset, but really it's a commodity. But they're treating it as a legitimate investment or use vehicle. They still haven't figured out that people are actually using it as money. I buy beef with it. We have a complete microcosm economy with the Lightning Network. We're boosting back and forth, but its value, we're boosting it back and forth between podcasts. Okay, and maybe it's not going that far out of the system just yet. But Tina, who has Crowd Health, she says, in January I can start paying my monthly Crowd Health bill with Lightning. It's like, okay, beautiful. So we can pay that from Boost.
I got a buddy that does Crowd Health. That's a pretty sweet service.
Yes, it's fantastic. It's really good.
He's not had any trouble with it at all. I mean,
Tina's only had good experiences. So
I think to be clear, if people didn't keep up with that, is the Strike thing. Like the feature that I was talking about was you can, with the new version of Strike, you can, you know, it's like you can attach a debit card to your Strike account and then you can pay a Lightning payment and you don't have to already have a balance. It will pay the payment.
Yep.
It will do, and it will immediately deduct enough cash out of your debit card right then, do the conversion, send the Lightning payment, and you never have to like transfer money out of your bank account into your Bitcoin balance ahead of time.
Right.
It's just it does all the conversion in one swift motion.
Yeah.
And that's how we get to that thing that they were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is the way forward. And Apple might be able to implement that. I don't know if they will. I don't care.
I mean, you told James Boggs 2.5 years, 3 years ago that they should do that.
I told him a lot of things. and then he left. He's like, leave it to Stacy. Like, Stacy can do it all. Let her do it.
He was like, what do you think about this new podcast subscription thing that we're about to do? Yeah. You're like, it's stupid. Do Lightning.
I want to talk about Apple in a moment. There's two other things I wanted to mention to our developers. Right now, the Breeze SDK, along with Greenlight, these are full, non-custodial, very simple to implement wallets that are really full nodes that you might want to consider looking at those, because we're all on Albi right now. And I love the Get Albi guys. Please don't get me wrong, but it's going to be a sad day when you're going to have to be answering 100 emails an hour of people saying it doesn't work. And what Breeze is doing with their SDK, which is actually, I think, may even become a part of Get Albi. I think that Roy mentioned that. I'm not quite sure how they're working together. But also, and you get your 12 words, so you can back up your account. You can recover your account from anywhere. It's fully non-custodial. I think it's worth looking at because we're so reliant on really one player. It's just something I'd like to mention. And they will eventually have key send incoming. So it'll be two-way, and it might behoove you to have that as a part of your app.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go up and down.
Greenlight just went public.
Yeah.
They just released a couple of days ago?
And they say it's all really simple, and you don't have to worry about stuff, and you don't have to worry about liquidity or any of that stuff. It's worth having a look at. We should have more options available, and I think they're available, but we haven't really talked about them. And it's just like, oh, okay, it's implemented, it's good to go. But and then back to Apple and Pocket Casts. I just wanted to say how incredibly disappointed I am in these people. Seriously, I mean, we even have AntennaPod now implementing transcripts. There's so much richness being published after about 3 years, such rich content. And you really, I mean, I think you all know that your business model is not going to be in providing this for people who only use your app, that the content is being created freely for you by wonderful podcast hosts. It's there. All you have to do is just implement it. And I have high hopes for Apple, because of Stacy now being over there. I hope that she can push through some of the newer modern features. But it's just like, what are you guys doing? I mean, what is wrong with you? Do you know where this came from? Do you know who your daddy is? Who's your daddy?
Apple told us 2 podcast movements ago that they were about to do transcripts in the Apple podcast, and they still haven't done it. And transcripts is not, I mean, like that's, they've already done it in Apple Music. It's not like it's, they'll be able to like copy and paste, right?
I did enjoy
reading the Podcast Industrial Complex. I did enjoy reading all of the explanations that we worked with Apple to convince them that their way of doing downloads, automatic downloads, was bad for the advertising industry. Therefore, they said that they were going to change and update their tool, and they did. So we had this. We all signed this open letter and blah blah blah.
Sure.
And then it comes out later. Apple says we made this change to improve battery life.
Yeah. Well, that is, so you bring up a good point, and you have some good opinions on this. I would like to say that this latest change in iOS 17 shows how fragile your business model is in the podcast industrial complex. Just yes. Wait until IPv6, and we're going to talk to our boardroom guest today. When IPv6 become real, and it will eventually, I mean, it's showing up more and more, and you're going to be gone. It's going to be done. Whether it's IPv6 or Apple flipping on their VPN or just, you know, more VPNs in general. And immediately I thought, how can I spin this into something good? Well, first of all, why don't you talk a little bit about, you wrote a great blog post about this. I should probably put that in the show notes. That, you know, the writing is on the wall. It's coming. It's like a freight train, and the pick is standing on the tracks going, what? What? Like a deer in the headlights going, what? What's those they're two motorcycles?
They're blinking like a little cat that's looking at you.
Do you not see that this is going to run right over you? And just like Apple waited for a reason to do, you know, this download thing was, save battery life. They'll wait for another reason to switch on the VPN. It's coming.
I've got a lot of thoughts about Apple's role in things. And, you know, we've all been, myself included, have been irritated at Apple for not allowing you to specify a default podcast app on iOS.
Mm, yeah.
For a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I have railed about it.
It's anti-competitive, really. I mean, if I had enough money, I'd sue them over it. It's anti-competitive.
It feels that way. Mm-hmm. But I've actually started to shift. I've started to see this in a different way. It's still, to be clear, it's still irritating. But I think I may understand why they're doing this.
Okay.
And
why they're doing what?
Why they don't allow that.
Oh, okay.
So I think this all has to do with the competitive landscape. So Apple's in the business of, you know, they have Apple Music, they have Apple TV, and they have Apple Podcasts. Let's just say those are their three media-centric apps on the phone. Mm-hmm. And you have Spotify, who has music, mm-hmm, and podcasts, and now they're trying to get into video. You have YouTube, who has music, video, obviously, and now they're trying to get into podcasts. Mm-hmm. So you have these two players that over here, YouTube and Spotify. I'm speaking as Apple's. I won't even say I'm an Apple executive or an Apple guy. I'm going to say I'm somebody in the Apple podcast team. And those people have been there forever. And they have a different perspective. They tend to care about open podcasting. They may not always do everything that's right for open podcasting, but they do care about it. There's a history there. And they look at Spotify and YouTube and they say, okay, these are two walled gardens that if we let them, they are going to take over they're going to try to put a moat around open podcasting. They will try to capture it.
Oh, and I know exactly how they're going to do it. I think you're right.
And if we, Apple, again, I'm speaking as an Apple podcast insider here. If we, Apple, allow people to set a default their own default podcast app,
they lose control.
And they lose the ability to force open podcasting to be a thing in the Apple ecosystem. Right now, if you want to play in the Apple ecosystem in the podcasting world, you're 99% of the time forced into the Apple podcast app, which still uses RSS as its primary mechanism. If you allow that to change, immediately you run the risk of having 25% or plus of the podcast world maybe switch over to become confined behind Spotify. And, right. and I think they care. I think they care about that not happening. They don't make money off. Apple doesn't make any money off podcasting.
No.
But they do care about not giving. I'm not saying this is all altruistic. I think it's, you know, enlightened self-interest on their part. They don't want to give YouTube and Spotify more leverage in the worlds of music and video.
Correct.
Either. And so this is their way of maintaining a fragmentation that Spotify and YouTube can't overcome.
Well, I can already predict what's going to happen. And I will make a prediction and a recommendation. One, they're going to expand their own namespace to add transcripts, maybe chapters.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. They're going to add it to their namespace. My recommendation would be to also recognize the podcast namespace. And by the way, if they do that, I'll start a lawsuit. I will. I will sue them. Yeah. I think we can.
What
I think
are the
we have grounds.
Of this lawsuit?
They're assholes. It's illegal. It's illegal in America. You're not allowed to be an a-hole.
That's what got Alex Jones $2 billion in the hole.
That's not exactly what happened to him.
What it boils down to. People are like, he's just an a-hole.
We'll see. But it would be beautiful if they just said, you know what? There's hundreds of thousands of feeds that have transcripts, hundreds of thousands of feeds that have chapters. Maybe start, you know, easily. And I understand they want to control the experience and, you know, but play with us, become our friends again. So, you know, Steve died and became horrible. He wasn't the best. Mm-hmm. He really wasn't. But the initial openness that Steve Jobs had and how can we help you guys? How can we make this work for you? Was beautiful. Okay, you know, yeah, so he still started off by promoting NPR and PBS and BBC. It's okay. I get it. But he had a kismet about him, you know? He understood that, you know, these are the people who are making it work. We don't have to do anything. We can only benefit. People will want our devices. That's it. Anyway, I'm getting to be as bad as Todd Cochran talking about YouTube. By the way, I think we should bring them in, and we're going to do a drinking game. Instead of a drink, every single time Todd Cochran says YouTube, you have to boost.
Boost!
Every single time Todd mentions YouTube, you have to. Is that a good game? Should we try that for today?
Let me refill my wallet.
Let's bring them in because we're already way into their territory. Welcome to the Podcasting 2.0 boardroom. We have Mike Dell and Todd Cochran from Blueberry. Hello, gentlemen.
Happy podcasting, gentlemen.
Yes, it's a nice boardroom. You must have painted in here.
Thank you. It smells a bit still. It's has a kind of freshly painted vibe. Yeah, I'm glad. Good to have you guys back. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. We've been busy.
Yeah, very busy.
Very busy. Todd, of course, is my crack dealer. Every single time that new media show comes on, I'm like, I'm going to do some crack. I'm going to sit there and be aggravated and get sick from it, but I want the crack.
Well, I could offer to fill your Satoshi bucket today, but let's not talk about the company that should not be talked about.
Oh, yeah, good luck. Good luck, Todd. Good luck with that. Good luck. Hey, you know, I had a question for you right off the bat, just to, you know, since we're in the transparency of the boardroom.
Sure.
You mentioned about a month ago, I think, that your value for value numbers, you reverse engineered it because, you know, you get a split from every payment that your customers get. And you said that podcasters had received about $10,000 value for value. Which is phenomenal. And thank you for mentioning that number. What's interesting is you were talking about this being a fraction of your ad numbers. And then you went, I can't tell anybody. NDA. I can't talk about it. Why can't you tell us what your podcasters are making with advertising? Why is that a secret?
Oh, my board would fire me. I'm still accountable. There's certain things we don't talk about.
But value for value numbers are okay, but ad numbers are not okay?
Well, because...
You can't talk about the payout? I mean, not the total amount, but the payout to podcasters?
I suppose we could. I think the challenge is that I try to be careful, and you never know what's going to trigger a board member to get upset at me. The podcasting 2.0 stuff, they kind of let me run with scissors with it.
Is 10% the number of value for value versus ads? Is it less than 10%?
I will say that the programmatic ads is many multiples of value for value.
Sure, yeah. 6 times, 7.
Oh, come on. Now. I know what you're digging for. Next question.
He's acting like Apple. Todd just joined Apple or something.
What did you think about my Apple opinion, Todd?
You think that's
legitimate?
Here's the thing about Apple. Over the years, I've learned how should we say, ask Apple nicely for things, because they never talk. Whatever people say about Apple making a decision, it often comes from gentle persuasion. Say, hey, we'd love to see you guys do this. It would help us this way. And then they kind of go, oh, that's cool. They'll never say anything committal. I call it contractor talk. It's just like, they're very, very careful. But then every once in a while, they'll throw us a bone and something shows up and I kind of smile and, I'll silently send off an email to, Ted or one of the folks over there, say, hey, thanks. And of course, they never respond. But they do take input,
they can't respond either for they might be culpable and some, but part of, it's really sad. It makes me sad, but also, it makes me want to position them as your granddaddy's app. Because that's what it is at this point. I mean, look at the magic of some of these podcast apps. Look at the phenomenal things that are being done. And in no small part, thanks to Blueberry, there's content that wants to be published. It's there. It's like, why wouldn't you want to take that content? It's there. It's free.
Yeah, well, they are definitely what I call a legacy app. They're still a big player, but... not much changes over there as far as, the customer experience, I should say.
Think about what Dave just said, that, they want to have that competitive, they want to keep it fragmented. So Spotify's over here. Think about what happens the minute Apple says, oh, by the way, we've implemented all of these new features that are available to you on all these podcast hosts, and look at all the cool stuff we have now. Spotify, they'd be caught with their pants down.
And if they did announce that, champagne's on me. So that's what we can hope for. And
how about Pocket Cast? What's wrong with those people? Seriously, what's wrong, Matt? I don't understand. We had meetings, we laid it out, there was interest, we showed everything, and then, it's like, nothing. You bought a product, and here's a great way to differentiate.
Yeah, I talked to some of their team members over there, too. They were talking to us about PowerPress a little bit, and then they just kind of go silent.
I think, the people, listeners do choose podcast apps based on features. Like, yes, there's a large portion of podcast listeners that obviously just go with whatever the default app is. That is a thing that happens for sure. But there are a sizable number of people who they try to take a switch to a different app, and they're like, well, this new app doesn't have this feature that I have fallen in love with on this old app. And so, you think about things like sleep timers and stuff like that. I mean, some people are really in bed, They're really attached to a particular feature of an app. And I feel like if Apple started implementing some of the podcasting 2.0 features in a way, because otherwise, if you look at it, Apple Podcast app is a good app. It's a quality it's a quality product. It doesn't look like crap. It looks great. If they started adding some of these features, it would give people even more incentive not to go to YouTube, Spotify, all those other areas, because YouTube and Spotify, YouTube doesn't give a crap, And Spotify, oh, does, they add features nobody cares about.
You mentioned like YouTube.
Yeah, but I'm not Todd.
Oh, right. Sorry. I thought that was just Todd.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Todd. You're right. My mistake. You get a pass. Todd is crackling, though, man. You got like some discharge happening. And I mean, that's electrical discharge.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, we're on fire here. So, you know, when it comes to Apple, though, they're fully about the listener experience. And we understand that all these new features add to the listener experience, but they do things their own way at their own pace, and they're never committal. So your guess is as good as mine, but Ted and the rest, I know you guys are listening.
Yeah, but meanwhile, may I make a recommendation? Next time Apple decides to do something, just revolt. Like the removal of email addresses. Everyone, okay, Apple, okay, what a great idea. We'll do it. No, stop. Stop. Just, we have to start fighting back.
And as a fellow support guy, Adam, I feel your pain.
At this point, it's gotten to the point where delete my podcast from your platform. I'm like, okay, done. If someone else says if it was wrong, we'll bring it back.
No bounce checking.
Done. All right, you're good. Done. All right, but
You were talking about listeners picking an app. You know, I use Overcast as my kind of daily driver, but for value for value shows and all that, I use Podverse, and there's things in Podverse that don't exist. Like I have auto playlists, mm-hmm. and it's really hard to do that in Podverse.
Well, all I do is I pick an app and I just promote it on No Agenda. I'm promoting Podcast Guru now. It's taking away actual Apple market share. No problem.
It's just like podcasters moving to different podcast hosts. They don't. Once they get into a podcast host, they're pretty comfortable, and a small percentage might move at some point if something really supercharges them. But listeners are the same way. They get an app, they get comfortable. So what I really go after is those brand new listeners saying, hey, if you're new, go over there to podcastapps.com and grab yourself a new modern podcast app. They don't know any difference. So we can train them from.
I agree. You caught yourself previously on the training business. We don't train our audiences. It makes sense. You just say, hey, use this app because it's, and I think still one of the top reasons to use a modern podcast app is Podping. Like, how many people are like, people be posting screenshots on X, like, oh, great show, look at this art. And people go, hey, man, it's still not on Apple. It's like, well, yeah, because Apple doesn't implement the beautiful Podping system, which is there free for use.
Hey, Todd.
Save them money.
Why do you think that is, that people don't switch podcasting hosts more often? Because you're obviously right. It's a small percentage that makes this switch. And then you have people that switch and then switch back. Like, is it they just comfortable with the UI, with the way the payments work? Like, what do you think that's all about?
Oftentimes, and Mike can probably speak this more than I can, they'll leave us because they've been told by a advertising agency they have to host at a specific platform. They'll say, well, we'll leave the lights on for you. And about 75% of them come back. But those that come to us are largely technical podcasters, podcasters that understand all of these features. So again, it goes back into literally educating podcasters about these features that are now being available to them and how we have to just continue to press that story, at least at Blueberry and over at Buzzsprout and RSS Blue and everywhere else. It's our job is to talk about these new great features, but when Mike has to teach someone how to right click their mouse, that tells you why they don't move.
Yeah, sure. What percentage of your customers do you think are using the 2.0 features and know they have it and are actively engaged in even telling people about modern podcast apps? Is it sub 10?
It's more and more. I've noticed, I'm getting more questions on, oh, what do I do for this? I've shown people how to do value for value and live.
God bless you.
They put a whole network on that's live 24/7. And I put that lit tag in there for them or helped them do it. And they've been getting a lot of traction with that.
Cool.
I should run the numbers. But again, I would say sub 10% for sure.
It's not much more than that.
In
new incoming customers, I noticed, in fact, people moving to us, there's a higher percentage because, you know, we do get some moves specifically because of these features.
And is that coming? I'm guessing that's coming into like Podcast Mirror and Podcast and PowerPress more than Blueberry proper, or maybe
we
not?
Get, you know, a little of everything. You know, a lot of the Mirror, the new Mirror customers are there for that reason. But, you know, just it could be either way, our publisher system or.
How's that going in general, Podcast Mirror? Are you seeing uptake of that?
Yeah, we're seeing, I ran a revenue report on it the other day, and I'm pretty happy with month one. And the goal, I have a goal number, you know, in the first quarter on it. So we'll see where we hit. And we're, you know, we're watching where people are coming from. And we have had some SoundCloud people move.
Yeah, right on. So yeah, yeah. Great. Good, good. I love that you have that guide up move, there.
But Mirror, you know, they're mirroring. Yeah, they're the still mirror using thing. It. Yeah. Yeah.
And do they use the value tags, or what are they using it for?
Yeah, they're using the value tags. So, you know, it's really about word of mouth of getting that information out there, because, again, you probably have 99.9% of people that put stuff on SoundCloud that have no clue what value for value is. So,
you know, what I'm seeing is everybody needs, if you have a musician in your life, an artist in your life, and you're listening and you know what's going on, you know, these are the people you need to help. And it's very effective. I mean, I saw Steve Webb, who's an OG Godcaster, on board like four different artists. And, you know, he's walking them through it. You know, he's like, okay, here's your, here's your wallet. And he sets it up for him and does all that stuff. And, you know, and he's helping them with either, I think he actually helps them with Music Side Project or, I don't remember what he was putting up on. Maybe RSS Blue. I get emails like, hey, you know, this guy helped me, and I'm seeing this stuff come in, and like, this is cool. It's like they're really blown away at just, you know, that something's happening. They're seeing something. Something's returning, and it's beautiful when people just see that and feel good about it.
Yeah, Steve is in my email every once in a while saying, hey, when's value of time split coming? So
when, by the way, on that,
I'm getting grumpy.
Oh, we're about to release something. Imminent. Oh, it's release time. It's release time.
Well, Buzzsprout released Pod Roll today. Are y'all doing Pod Roll?
We're doing Pod Roll. We're doing value time split. We're doing remote item. What else are we doing, Mike?
Okay.
I think there was one more.
Four things.
Block. Yeah, we're doing the block.
Tag. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the Pod Roll tag is like, I'm just chomping at the bit for this, because that's piece of the
discovery mechanism we're looking at, right? Oh
man, it's just gold. It's discovery gold. Like the listener side of the equation is more difficult, because apps don't want to share, you know, they have this weird thing, they don't want to share it anonymized. Listener, you know, feed lists and things like that. And plus, you know, it's a little clouded too, because you have all these feeds that people subscribe to that they never really listen to anymore. So they're just like, they may be in their feed list, but they hadn't listened to the show in 5 years. And so, like, to be able to get podcasters to go through and say, hey, these are the shows I recommend, even if it's their own shows. I mean, it doesn't matter. Even if the podcast hosting company says, here's, you know, 10, 15 great shows that we recommend from our network of shows. Like, to me, that is a strong signal of that I want to use for discovery.
But yeah.
I want to push that out in an API that where podcast app 2.0 apps can grab it and have an instant way of having some clean, very, you know, usable recommendations to start.
I'd love to have it in Sovereign Feeds. Stephen Bell.
we got a demo on Wednesday of everything except for value time split. So now the dev is working on that. So I don't know if we're going to release Pod Roll and remote item first and then value time split. I don't know how they're going to sequence it out, but I mean, a couple of weeks. I'm got my fingers crossed.
Sweet. Sweet. Awesome. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. We got to get back to the top of that list, you know?
Well, look, stop trying to compete with Sam Sethi because it's just like,
impossible.
But you know, it's what I love though. It's happening is we're seeing more. It's small right now, of course, but I truly believe the value for value music podcasts is a category, and it's a category that will bring in people, new people. It'll bring in existing people like Cody from Kerrville. It'll bring in, you know, it'll enable people to just play a song. I think particularly if a host has the music lookup stuff, which seems to be the way to go, even just for people to, to even just discover music. I mean, LN Beats, all this stuff. This is going to happen. I mean, I've never seen this much enthusiasm of people who are willing to sit down and break their brain trying to figure out how does this work? What do I do? I want to do it. How do I make this work within the interface or whatever? It will be a boon for podcast hosts. Yes, let's get you to the top.
You know, our challenge is always we have two development tracks. We have to update PowerPress, and then we also have to update our dashboard. So we actually have to do twice the work to deploy.
And at the channel level, a mirror now. So
yeah. Mirror, yeah. And we got mirror too. Yeah. I want to ask this general question about your hosting customers. It's not your customers. I want to ask about your the feeds in the podcasts that you host. Do you have a sense for what would be a breakdown if you had to just guess of people that just do podcasts like this, a couple of people talking, people that do more highly produced podcasts, people that do maybe audiobooks. Like, what do you think what is your sense of the breakdown of how your podcast base at Blueberry, what is the types of content they're being put out?
Oh, they're definitely either solo or have a guest, or they're two hosts and have a guest. It's really, we've never really ran the numbers that way. I often look at it as a split between what we call dashboard customers, and those are in PowerPress, and that runs about 70 to the PowerPress side, and not all those hosts with us. Okay. So, I don't know, Mike, you talk to the customers every day.
I would say probably 80 to 85% are hobbyist podcasters is what I call them aren't really that interested in making money. I mean, a little going out to dinner money would be good, but that's not their main focus. And then, we got another 10 or 15% that are, more serious about it and trying to make a living or doing it for some corporate reason reason.
So it's just some folks, a solo or some folks talking, or maybe a guest interview show.
I bet you, your corporate, I bet corporate is bigger than we think over there.
Yeah, we have a huge corporate.
Corporate and some government entities and universities.
Is that usually private feeds or is it like intranet type stuff?
No, we have DOJ, we have Senate, House of Representatives, Voice of America. Oh, we got it. There's a pile. There's DARPA. A pile of them. Yeah.
Bunch of them.
Most of those are public podcasts.
Let's get DOJ on Value for Value.
Yeah. Well, that would be funny. Yeah.
Why not?
Well, VOA should do it.
Propaganda arm of the U.S. government. Sure, exactly. Why not? Yeah, but let them promote something for us for a change.
You want an eye opener? They have an incredible large number of shows. I mean,
I know they do. I knew that. Yeah, for sure. You know, you could also tell them, like, this is a great way to track stuff. You know, this is a great way to see who's really listening. It as a percentage, but...
What was the list, Mike? Close to 400 shows?
It was right close to 400 to... I about wore my elbow out pushing the mouse around the desk, getting them set up.
Is it? Wow. So the Department of U.S. Department of Justice.
Dude, they're paying the rent. Nice. Government ping. Nice.
Hey, the DOJ is already selling Bitcoin, so they've got a way.
They're confiscated Bitcoin.
Yeah, what if we get them on Albie?
Is this justice.gov? Is that what we're talking about?
Because I'm be honest with you, I don't look up there. They just write
check. Justice.gov.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You don't look at it because you don't want anybody to know that you're Googling for justice, the Department of Justice.
They had that many podcasts. I didn't realize.
But you guys said something earlier that. You guys said something earlier that triggered me, the IPv6. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I do kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes,
I do.
Yes, yes.
So the challenge with IPv6 is originally IPv6 was designed that everyone would get an IPv6 for life. Well,
yeah, that's not going to happen.
No, matter of fact, those IPv6 addresses get reassigned. It could be every 10 minutes you get a new IPv6 extension. But what we found, and I think, and I'm not an expert, Dave, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I call them octals. If you have like the fourth octal, that's the one that updates like rapidly. But the three prior octals do not. So did that's I say that
ASN,
correctly?
Yeah. 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 That's the first section is the ASN and then everything else. It's 128 bit address.
Yeah, so if you had like 2001, 2001, 2001, 1000, the 1000 changed to 800, 765, 443 on a really regular basis, but those first three pretty much lock in. Those don't move too much. So yeah, it's gonna change the stat system quite a bit.
And that's mostly mobile right now.
Yeah.
But it has to be mobile. The mobile needs it. They have to move to a IPv6.
It's mostly outside the United States too. You see Asia has picked up IPv6 huge. Yeah. It's, cause IPv4 there, if you didn't have an IPv4 block, you can't get them no more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And that's good. All of these things, it's just we've been talking about this lately. The podcast industrial complex really is just the digital advertising industry, and they're clueless about how to get off being so dependent on IP addresses, because this is going, it's the writing has been on the wall for so long, and now, and all they do is just gripe about it. They have no actual solutions.
They kick the can down the road, but I know from discussions I've been in with IEB and so forth, there are people that are panicking.
Yeah, they should be panicking because specifically I was talking about the IEB at their last conference. The keynote guy was just talking about, he was just bitching the whole time about Apple Private Relay. Dude,
what keynote was this?
Released that and in Chrome too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that this is going to become more and more of a thing, because if you think you don't even have to think very hard about it. If you just look at Apple, Google, and Microsoft, you can know ahead of time that they're not going to want to let that data escape. They want to use it, but they're not going to want to let third parties use it. And so it behooves them to put some sort of wrapper around the content that goes across their platform so that they're the ones that get the benefit of being able to see it. But then when it exits onto the open internet, all that's gone. And so there's no way to stop this train. And so you have to start doing the difficult work. And I think that's what this all boils down to, honestly, is just laziness.
Is this not the very reason why Google is going for the VPN so that they still will be able to track the ads?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the, that yeah, has to be the main
nobody
reason.
Nobody else will be able to.
Well, no, but they don't care. So, but they're going to give you a free VPN basically, I guess. As a part of your experience, and you'll get used to it and you'll like it and it'll be fast and reliable and you'll feel good. But then they and only they will be able to track the advertising that runs through it. I presume that's why they're doing this.
No, it's so crooked in my opinion.
Or maybe they'll try to sell it back to the advertisers.
How about this idea? It's a very old idea, but maybe it's time to consider. So we have this wonderful system. We know exactly when someone's listening down to the minute. And if you gave your listeners the opportunity, if I said, all right, you know what? I want to try something. I'm going to give you all a wallet. Then here's an app with a wallet and start using this. And by turning it on and sending me one Satoshi, you will be signaling to me that you're interested in advertisements that I select for you. So I'm turning the model on its head now. Instead of interruption based, instead of, you know, forcing in your face. I like ads. I mean, there's lots of shows where I'm like, oh, I want to hear the ads that you have. If you, the podcaster, has selected them for me. And that doesn't mean that I don't necessarily want, I mean, I might want an insurance company ad, but okay. And then for every ad that I listen to, you'll actually cut me in on that, you know, and the advertisers have to be in this as well. I think there's a way that we can do this because we have this mechanism which shows the attention is there, that the play button has been pressed, that someone is listening in real time. I mean, and I understand there's ways to game the system, but I feel like there's something in there that enough people would probably, and it would jack your CPM rates up to 150, believe me. If you said, look, I'm proving these people want to hear your ad. They're listening to your ad. Is there something there? Do you think that would ever be possible?
Oh, there's something there because they're so hardcore on attribution right now.
Yeah, you could use value for attribution.
That's what I'm talking about. But you determine what the attributes are. I determine what I'm going to send along. You know, I can be completely anonymous. I can give you my email address. And, you know, all this stuff can be sent in the TOV record. I see Alex Gates rolling his eyes. But all of that can be... Maybe it's time to talk about his guaranteed payment record or whatever. I'm just thinking...
Chase and payment token.
Can we get out ahead of this? Because I'm not anti-advertising at all.
Adam, so do you want to get back on the media buyer train and go to New York and start briefing him? Because I'm sad this is what's going to take. It's going to take someone going to them and saying, okay, hey, we got a new way of doing attribution. And do you want on this train? I'm sure some would say yes, but, you know, we have a hard enough time telling them, the story we've been telling them for 19 years.
Yeah, but listen, I come into the room and the first thing I say is, do you know who your daddy is? And then we're done. You know, that's it. We're good. We're good.
I'd rather just see it fail because it's funner for the show.
No, but I am not anti-advertising. I enjoy hearing certain ads. And it should be a way to turn it off, too. Like, you know, for some reason, Spotify still gives me ads, even though I'm a premium subscriber or whatever it does. I still get ads. And I'm not interested in Joe Rogan's ads. I'm not.
They got to pay Joe, though, so they have to do something.
Something has to give because the system is broken. The gatekeeper's idea is broken. We broke that. It's done. It's over. This is non-linear media. I heard on Pod News that, you know, what is it? Audio boom. We have 1 billion impressions. Well, there goes your CPM rate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's obvious.
I think you're on to something. I'm going to have to grind through that.
And you know what, Todd? I'll tell you something. And I have enough shows that I could do this with. I'd be very interested in giving it a shot. But I'd be interested in, and yeah, I'll go to New York with you and I'll do one trip. I'll go in front of the media buyers. And if we can really show an example of how it would work, and, you know, of course the CPM rate would have to be outrageous.
That's right.
And we'll have to send value back to the people who are self-identifying. I think there's something there. I really do. It's if people know that I am, because already that's a lot of podcasts say, I don't want that ad. I don't want that ad. I don't want that. You know, so if I'm in charge of selecting the ads, just as I'm in charge of my topics or whatever else, and people trust me, they're listening to me for that reason. And if they say, I love you, Adam, but I don't want to hear it, then don't attribute yourself. You won't hear anything. But if you do, then you're going to get the ad and you're going to get a token of appreciation back. We're going to send some value back for you. Thank you for being a part of the system.
It's definitely something that's got me thinking here. So,
you're right, Todd, but because the attribution piece tells me that there's a problem. The fact that everybody is now, BetterHelp is now forcing all their people to use a tracking pixel. This is becoming more of a thing. I hear more and more shows talking about how their advertiser reached out and told them they want them to start using tracking pixels.
And Dave, check it out. With value for value, you just add a split to the advertiser. They can track it. Then there's no third party. Yep. It's the mm-hmm. listener determines. Everybody knows the people who are involved in the agreement. It's an open agreement.
It's not a tracking pixel. It's a tracking Satoshi.
It's a trackoshi.
It goes back to one simple thing. It's the problem we've had since the beginning. Did they listen? Because we don't have the client's idea.
You don't have
all it is. That's what they're trying to get the answer. Did that person listen?
It would also remove the data brokers because, you know, what people really want is that why do they want your IP address? Well, that's Curry. Oh, we know what Curry does. Mm-hmm. Look at all this traffic that look at what he's doing. Oh, we see what he does. Oh, he sends traffic to AmericanExpress.com. Oh, this is our guy. No, you remove
the thing
all
is,
that.
If things get big enough, though, even that much data, who's going to sift through all that stuff?
Well, Oracle, they have a whole business. They have a whole business doing that. Time and time again.
I'll tell you exactly where it gets super creepy for me. And we had a local special election because the Alabama State House seat that from my district that I live in, the guy got kicked out for corruption. So they had this special election and it was between two people. And the district that I live in is the most crazy drawn district you've ever seen in your life. I mean, it looks like a spirograph. It's all over the place. It makes no sense. So the only way that you would determine, so I'm watching YouTube. I'm watching a YouTube video on my phone and I start getting ads for one of the candidates from House District 55, which is my district. The only way that you would know that I should get that ad is if you know my exact house address that's tied to my IP address at that moment.
And that's so well known, Dave.
Yeah, I know. And so I'm like, But it's most of the time you get like local ads for car dealerships and things like this. And it doesn't show you how creepy the tracking is. But then every now and then you'll get something like that. And you're like, oh my God, they know exactly who I am and where I live.
Yeah.
It creeps you out.
Yeah. Dave, they know who in a household listened to an ad. Okay, so they do. That's the crazy part. But I saw some demos before that. I mean, really, this is why we are hardcore privacy at Blueberry. I would never employ any of that.
That's
so creepy.
There's a new version of Wi-Fi where they're able to map out the inside of your house using your Wi-Fi router.
Yeah, exactly. You can see where you're walking.
Yeah.
Well. You know, you need what you need is an anchor club advertiser to do this, you know, fast moving consumer goods type deal and someone who's willing to try it with you. You could, I guess, probably the smartest way to do it is to team up with an advertising agency, make it their win, you know, cut them in for their 15% or whatever it is, you know, their media buy fee. But I think I've been in this business. And I understand it. And I also understand that there is a real need for, first of all, it's a desirable audience. It just is. And you could, let's think about it. You can say, how about this? Along with my payment record, I'm going to leave that open for Alex Gase to develop. It would say, I'm interested in political ads. I'm interested in food ads. I mean, you know, you could tick some boxes.
Use the Google Topics thing.
Whatever.
It's got a good list.
Yeah. You can use all of that. It's time. The only problem here is we're treating our listeners, our true end customers, as dirt. As stupid dirt. Like, you don't count. Shut up. You're not supposed to know what we're doing with you. Ha 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 ha. We're going to throw this in your face. You're stupid dirt. And we don't care about you. And if you, because people are smart. People are like, all right, you know, hey, look, give me a little bit of value back for letting you. And this has always been the dream. Opt in. It'll be great. Okay. You know, I've heard all of these. There's been so many different versions of this, but we actually have one. And we have, you know, 16,000 feeds that are using it, and I would presume most of them are active. let's just do times 10 just to make it simple. That's how many listeners there are. It's probably a lot more. And if people have the opportunity to opt into something and I get 10x on my sat that I send or whatever it is, I think people would be amenable to it. Because people want to learn things. They really do. And you wouldn't have to be so insulting with your ads either.
Oh, see, okay. I'm allowed to talk about YouTube, but Todd's not. So yes, I'll tee this up. I'm going to toss this as an alley-oop to you.
Let me just answer one thing. Ice Cube Soup. It's less creepy because they don't have your IP address. They only have what you just give them. Which could be nothing. A lightning payment is anonymous. There's no way to track where that came from. So it turns the creepy upside down. Go ahead, Dave.
So I still just don't think that YouTube is a profitable company.
I'm with you.
I don't think they're profitable. I think they make tons of revenue, and I don't see that they've made if they've made any profit, it's so small that they're not willing to talk about it publicly because they don't release the numbers. And if that's true, then that is the largest walled garden of digital advertising that exists. Mm. It is a completely captured platform. It has no competitor. YouTube on the video side of things it has no competition. And if they can't even make a decent profit or any profit at all, then this is not a workable system.
No, their overhead is huge. And you have to just the ingest and the transcoding of all those cat videos. But even that, think about the Lightning Network just as an opt-in identification system. And who said this? Sir Spencer says people love getting 14 sats a day from Fountain. When they don't get it, they're all up in the Telegram screeching about it. Yeah, people like getting stuff for free. That one of the most tried and true ways of getting someone to respond to a piece of mail you get in the mailbox is someone says, "Here's a dollar." Mm-hmm. And they put a dollar bill in there. It works. It still works.
The whole radio stat system.
For the Arbitron ratings. Yeah. But what's beautiful is there are tons of SDKs. There's all kinds of programming bits and bobs around for anybody to implement this into any system. And then, people can maintain their own wallet. They can maintain, and it can just be an app. Maybe it's just the advertising app. All of this stuff is totally possible. If we look at the value for value as a identification mechanism or an opt-in mechanism for a second, instead of as a payment mechanism.
The company that shall be not named, they're raising their prices for ad-free.
Yeah.
And that's going global. At the same time, I know, Adam, you kind of roll your eyes on some of this, but the AI search is going to change Google's complete model on display advertising. And
They're going to lose more money.
They're going to lose more money.
Because it's very expensive to have everybody using that kind of CPU power.
And at the same time, I'm afraid those of us that have our own .coms are going to have to work that much harder to be found, because I think search is about to be completely destroyed.
Now, let me ask you a question about this. Do you really believe most people find podcasts because of a search?
We know that.
Episodes.
It's definitely not number one. It's, it's me telling my friend about, podcasting 2.0.
Yes.
But what happens, and I can only use my show, my tech show, as an example. I pick up a percentage of people that come to the website because they have landed there because I've optimized the search results and being able to be for my episodes, for that episode to be found. But again, it's a long-term gameplay.
It's not the most important
thing. 1%. No, not at all.
It's not the most. And this is why, and let's go right back to PodRoll. Let's go right back to remote items, to the interconnected RSS web of content that Dave is baking up APIs for. This is the future of discovery. The discovery is I heard it on a podcast. This is a piece from a podcast. My app lets me tap in. This is the best place to discover stuff. And it's not just search. It comes from recommendations. It comes from linked content. The way the web has always worked. That's what is a discovery mechanism.
Anytime I recommend a show in my podcast, I have audience members say, hey, thanks for the recommendation. So it's the same thing with the pod roll. If I have 10 shows that said these are the shows that I listen to that I love, well, if my audience loves and trusts me, they're going to go try a few of them.
Allow me to give everybody an example. I was listening to my buddy Cody, and he's tied into the music scene in a way I had no idea. I thought he was, kind of a rock, popular rock guy, but he seems to be very clued in. And he plays a song. I'm like, this is a great song. And you know what? I'm going to play it for y'all right now.
Oh.
With a value time split. Watch it show up in the chat room. Boost Them, Vertigo Kid, very appropriately titled Pirate Radio. Yes, Venus, it's a dance break on Podcasting 2.0.
To be
go kid. Pirate Radio, just to prove we can still put something on the top of the charts.
I've got my eye on the top. What are we?
The top 175, 142 today. Top 142. Does it update every minute? How often does it update?
Hour.
Oh, every hour. Okay. Yeah.
I've got a whole box of butterfly bandages and smelling salts here. So I mean, I showed up with these because I thought we were going to talk about alternate feed, alternate enclosure.
I'm sorry. Here's the gavel.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So you've laid down the gauntlet, Todd, and said alternate enclosure. Hell no.
Yep.
But there's decent discussion about it. So I will let you have opening comments. To say why you'd think this is a no do.
So it's simple. I understand the reason that you did alternate enclosure. I understand completely. I understand the argument. But we have trained podcasters for 19 years to ensure that they have a listing on Apple Podcasts for their audio and video podcasts, that they have to have two RSS feeds. And no matter... hate to say it, no matter what we do, it'll be a cold day in hell before Apple will implement alternate enclosures. So we have a simple fix. And Mike actually came up with this idea. Just allow us to add a remote item that is an alternate enclosure as an alternative. For those of us that are not going to implement alternate enclosures, what will happen is if I tell a podcaster today, okay, so you got an audio podcast, you got a video podcast, and you go ahead and put your media file in for one, you put your media file in for the other, do all your metadata. Now you need to do that work twice by putting, for your audio feed, you need to put your video feed, and for your video feed, you need to put your audio it just adds work where I can have them set a remote item one time, they're done. And from that point forward, you will know that Geek News Central has a video feed on this other feed without me ever having to do double the work and do double the posting. Cause I'm going to continue to post my episodes the way they are now so that they can be compatible with all the non-podcasting 2.0 stuff. I understand what podcasting 2.0 is being do, but we can have the best of both worlds. And all it takes is a remote item saying alternate enclosure. Yeah. Boom, we're done.
I mean, I'm not totally against alternate enclosure, but additive to this would be alternate feed. That gives you the option to do it compatible way.
Yeah, that's what it should have been. Alternate feed, excuse me, not alternate enclosure. So it should be alternate feed. Yeah.
Okay, I understand. Now I understand what you're saying. So what you're saying is create two feeds, but implement it for podcasting 2.0 apps as a remote item so people don't have to subscribe to something. Additionally, they can select it. The app would know and would select it internally.
It would without having to actually do the alternate enclosure because we're going to just continue to do enclosures like they've always ever been. Oh, okay. It was decided a long, 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 long time ago that there would not be two enclosures in a single feed. I know things change. Podcasting 2.0 has changed that. But if I can have a podcast alternate feed in the remote item, you'll know what my alternate feed is. And it could also be lower bandwidth, alternate language, video, whatever we want to come up with.
Do multiple things.
I was very anti your thinking, but now I understand what you're saying. It's like give the modern apps the capability to make the switch with the existing subscription by just saying, oh, check it out. There's a remote item here. This is for video.
And it will allow the podcasting 2.0 apps to see those of us that just stay on the one enclosure per feed model. The ability to say, okay, yeah, this show has five extra alternate feeds.
Okay, let me ask questions. This is Q&A. So this really, your main concern is alternate enclosure as a video audio mix. I'm assuming that you're not opposed to alternate enclosure for those specific use cases where people need a lower bandwidth version of the same media type. So you would have the standard, you know, 96 or 128K MP3 delivered through the enclosure, and then possibly inserting like a very low bitrate source for like KaiOS phones or something like that as an alternate audio downgrade, so to speak.
No, that's not against that at all.
Yeah, and, and there's no reason why we can't have both. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. You want to keep your existing customers who have two separate feeds, and you want to keep them that way because you've trained them that way. And I presume you're also getting paid for two accounts. Maybe I'm wrong.
They're not all hosting with us, but
Okay. All right. Well, that's understandable. And I honestly, sounds like a pretty good use of remote item.
Well, okay. So I have a question too. Is this a problem that can be solved with just software so that somebody uploads they have their audio feed, they have their video feed, but then the audio feed, as when they post to the video feed, the audio, the two can cross pollinate alternate enclosures.
Yes.
Yeah. We do that with PowerPress already. You can have one blog post and put as many media files in different channels, which is different feeds, as you want.
Right. So
it keeps the workload down when you're doing an audio video of the same show.
Right. So a remote item on the video feed can point to the audio feed, Dave.
Sure.
And vice versa.
Right. I guess what I'm saying is if adding a video source to the audio feed is more work, could you take away the work by doing it for them when they're already doing the work?
Yeah. Well, what will happen is again, this will be a set and forget. We'll just say do you want your video feed to be a remote item in your audio feed? And they'll click the button one time and we'll include it forevermore. It'll just happen when they publish the episodes. Because like Mike said, when people, at least in our system, when I publish an episode of Geek News Central, I do one blog post, but there's two feeds tied to the blog post.
So it's really using a modern system to fix a legacy problem. Because there's already so many video feeds that people have created in addition to their audio feed. So you implement the alternate enclosure, which will be the way forward, personally, I think. But you can also do it this way.
Yeah, the remote item would be for folks like us that don't want to retrain our audience. And again, that will allow the apps to pick either or.
Mm-hmm. And in theory, you could have it so that it does both.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it can be either an alternate enclosure or it can be a remote item alternate feed, which is video or audio or whatever.
And it keeps all those antique apps working, backwards compatibility.
So you did not propose an actual tag spec. You just proposed it as an idea.
Yeah, so, just an idea. I'm not a dev.
So I went looking for prior art in this, and Podlove has an alternate feed specification going back to like 2012. It uses the Atom Link thing, which is they're going to get pissed off because we already swapped chapters on them. But
Dave, you're already going to revise remote items so that anything in the remote item is going to have a type. So why don't you just make this a new type that goes along with that revision?
I think long term, looking out into the future, importing the Atom namespace into these, I know it's done a lot, but if the whole goal for the podcast namespace is to have something that's holistic and self-contained, I hate to bring in a spec and say, okay, well, yeah, okay, now go get the Atom namespace and do it this way. Like this just doesn't seem to be, it doesn't seem to be fitting this. And I'm not seeing this alternate feed used very much. This goes back to Podlove chapters. And I love those. I mean, I really love what Podlove does, except, the chapter spec that they invent, it just never got any traction. And it's the same. It seems to be the same thing with their alternate feed spec.
Well, it's like our namespace didn't get a whole lot of traction either, other than amongst.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one reason why.
Do you know who your daddy is?
I mean, that's why. You got to know who your daddy is.
So if you get. So I'm just thinking, you know, I don't want to just willy nilly throw away prior art, but there just doesn't seem to be, if it's not used, I don't see that as very much of a big deal.
Well, James is throwing his headset down right now, so I wouldn't get rid of alternate enclosure.
No,
of course not.
No.
I think this is so, but I love this idea because it's a complete valid use of the remote item, which is really for me, the remote item is the future of RSS podcasting and RSS in general. The remote item is critical to everything we're going to do moving forward. It's beautiful. You know, once we get the tools in where, I mean, even playing a clip from, we talk about it, but we don't actually have an interface or anything. If I play a clip from a different podcast, boom, remote item. All of this stuff should be part of our normal workflow. And crickets.
You know, the remote item piece, really, I made my whole dev team listen to the last Podcasting 2.0 show from about the 45-minute mark. Because you guys,
poor people.
Yeah. You guys, you know, you
they don't like namespace talk.
You beautifully explained. And yeah, somehow I'm giving feedback today. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to have to check the knobs. It basically is a... I think it is. I think this remote item is the key to a lot of stuff.
Well, it finally brings in links.
Yeah.
Which is what makes the web the web and what makes it decentralized. Because if you don't have linkage between different pieces of content, then you don't have a truly decentralized way to crawl from one place to another. And so the remote item just it allows you to do what the web's done, is it links things together. So, like, I heard James on Pod News Weekly Review asking, "What is, you know, what's the point of putting the?" He didn't say it that way. He said it better than that, but he didn't understand necessarily why we were putting the value time splits in the API responses. And it's for this reason: is because once you see it, now you have linkage, so I can say, okay, here is a value, here's a feed that also has links to other feeds. It's the same thing with Podroll.
Yep.
Here's a feed that now links to other feeds. When you begin to build this web.
Oh man, it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah. Like now you've got real. So the whole reason you can't do proper searching in podcasts is because, so Google PageRank is built on inbound links. That's always been the core of PageRank, is you can look at how many links point to a source to determine some measure of its popularity or its relevance. There's no way to do that in podcasting. There's not. But now you can. If you have remote items, you can have this notion of inbound links. If 100 podcasts reference a remote item pointing to New Media Show, well, then that's a really good indicator that there's something going on at New Media Show that should up its game in the discovery realm.
If you go back to blog days, we all had blog rolls on our websites because it's the folks that we read, and that was our signal that we thought this was a good source of content. Because you always
giving inbound links to stuff we liked.
Is the current implementation Buzzsprout is doing of Podroll, they're doing that as a remote item, Dave? Remote item type equals Podroll?
It's the Podroll tag with the remote item as a child. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
And yeah, I like what they did over there. If you went and look at their interface, the page, and how they're displaying that to listeners, and then, you know, that's the first step, and then the apps are going to be able to surface that to listeners as well within the app, keeping them in the app. This is beautiful.
There's going to be a developer out there who's going to create the pod browser. Even though I hate your word pod, but pod browser. It's going to be an app where you just go from one to the next, from a song to this to that to a lecture to whatever to a book. I can, you know, we need the hosting companies to add the interfaces, but we'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get there.
I think a lot of this is, you know, going to get away from apps in general. You know, as things get cranked down tighter and tighter, it's going to move. A lot of this stuff's going to move to the just the plain old web. You know, as far as listening
or PWAs,
You know, mm-hmm. but you know, because at some point, you know, Apple's going to say, well, we don't like X or whatever, and they're out of the App Store.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, well, that, yeah, that's, and that, you know, we already,
that's inevitable.
we got a, you know, what we got from Mitch this past week was that a podcaster had complained to Apple's App Store about Mitch having one of their podcasts on his app. Like they didn't go through app, you know, they complained to App Review or not App Review, but to the App Store people. And so they, and then Apple reached out to Mitch and was like, hey, we got a complaint that you have unauthorized content on your app. Mm-hmm. And it was a big pain in the butt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, Andrew Grummet, this is for you, brother. There's your project. The pod, pod browser.
Good idea.
PWA pod browser. Pod browsers with attitude.
There's a product we offer to our podcasters. It's called Quick Links, and it's basically the ability for them to kind of have a link tree type of page, just kind of shows off all their stuff. We're going to add Podroll to that in various different places within the platform.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure so Podpage will roll it out.
Sure.
This is good stuff. I don't know where to go from here. Should we thank some people? Because we've just been getting lots and lots of boostergrams. I want to give a couple up top. 2100 sats from Macintosh. Can I throw something out, please? No. In the next boost. Oh, I'm sorry. as a podcaster and an avid listener, I want one thing to whoever needs to hear this. App developers, I believe. Stop the futzing around. Implement cross-app comments. The other podcast 2.0 apps are not your enemy. If anyone is an enemy, it is Apple and Spotify and such. It will make a huge difference in developing communities and creating a better experience. I have no interest in hacks to make this stuff work. As Nike says, just do it. Thanks, Macintosh. Well, there's your listener feedback. thank you, Macintosh. 10,000 sats from Sam Sethi coming through on that pod fans. Loving this loving this alternate enclosure chat. We already support the alternate enclosure and pod fans and support video, but remote item is good to support legacy feeds, and it's going to be the way forward, as we just discussed. Salty Crayon, Freedom Boost 1776, boosting is loving. Yes, it is. Another 10,000 from Sam Sethi. Pod fans... Here's your advertisement from Sam Sethi for today. Pod fans was the first to support the pod roll, and we have created an admin for creators to build their own pod roll while we wait for hosts to catch up. Indeed. Very good. Big proponent of the pod roll. 20,000 sats from Absurdient. We're all pirates. Yes, thank you. That was for the pirate song. And then we have Max Space, Luke, 50,000 sats. This is my second boostergram ever after sending one to Chris at Linux Unplugged on the Jupiter Broadcasting Network. When Chris's Unfilter show ended, Chris hit me in the mouth on Unfilter's Way Out as a place we could go now that Unfilter was no more. I'm a total fanboy for No Agenda. And now, of course, that leads to Podcasting 2.0 and MoFax and Boostergram Ball. Thanks for you all, Adam, Dave, and the whole team. Do for everybody what you do for everybody day in, day out. Go podcasting. Thank you. Sam Sethi is feeling flush today. Another 10,000. No tracking sat needed. We have time listed, percent completed, and value paid. The advertiser puts in a budget, and the negative sat flows goes from the advertiser to the listener. We already do this with trailers. That's pod fans, specific to pod fans. Yeah, any app can do this. I just think we're thinking more of it on a bigger basis.
Yeah.
But, Sam, another 10,000. We'll take as many 10,000 sat boostergrams from you as you want, Sam. I'll keep reading them. Adam, we have created that ad model. Do you want a demo? We are ready to release it. We will use negative sats with value time splits to pay users to listen to ads and split the payment to podcast creators. If you skip, you get nothing. Yeah, yes, and I'd love to see if it works, because then we can do it from a more decentralized way and not just one app that does it. I think that's perfect, unless I'm misunderstanding. And interesting. So the value time set, you put that in on top of the feed? We'll have to get some information from Sam.
Yeah, we need Sam back on the show anyway.
Yeah, we do. But then he'll have to boost during his own show. Otherwise, we don't have the income. It's better to have Sam on remote.
We're taking a hit.
Nice row of ducks, 22,222 from Salty Crayon. Howdy, Podsage/Podfather. Putting together a value for value music podcast is a lot of fun and a lot of work, but I'm having a blast doing it. I was able to use the Magic Wallet switching technology with RSS Blue for my first show. I found out from Dovidos I was the first person to use it in that way. I love it. Thanks for putting in all the back end work so we can create these podcasts. And it's the Upbeats podcast. Well, don't thank us, man. There's a whole crew of gypsies out there who are responsible for this.
Yeah, and we can say that. We've been given authorization
actual gypsy says it's okay. Eric PP, 33,333. We have SU Pipe CD, 4444 sats. Freedom Eagles. Sir TJ the Wrathful with 1953. Guru is great. He's on Podcast Guru. No nice. Bat signal for any apps for me today. They normally work in Podverse and Guru and Addict. And I just got it too. If Guru could make it so I can share playlists and it controls like shuffle and repeat for all when music is playing, oh baby, go podcasting. All right, stay off the pipe, TJ. Thank you. 1701 from Anonymous using Podverse. Love in the boardroom. And I think that's it. That's what we have so far. You want to read what we have, what's come in during the week, Dave?
Yeah, we got some PayPals. And this one ought to be familiar because it's $250 from Blueberry Podcasting, our very own guest. Oh,
look at those guys.
Sakala, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Thank you, Blueberry Podcasting. Thank you.
Thank you, fellas.
Thank you, guys. That's really
I'm going to be hitting your API more. We need to send you some money.
Hit my API.
Hit it. We've got, speaking of the devil, Franco Solario. We talked about Castomatic earlier, $100.
Bam. Thank you, Franco. Supporting Franco. Everything. We support each other. I love it.
And we've got a $25 a $25 donation from Brian Mosier. I don't know who that is. So
thank you, Brian. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. Yep. If you got a note, shoot me one and I'll read it. We got some boosts. We got 10,000 sats from Star. I think Star is associated with Whitney Webb's podcast, right? I think that's Whitney Webb.
Oh, Star. Yeah, she's with Whitney Webb. She produces. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Good one.
10,000 sats from Star. Whoa, said, thanks, Star. Table of contents, sanity restored, love.
Yeah, I noticed a number of apps actually handled table of contents properly.
Oh, yeah. It's happening.
Yeah, it was good.
The Podfather asks and people give you what you want.
Well, I only got one message this week from one person who said, chapters are messed up.
Oh, well, that's a good sign.
They sent me a screenshot. I don't know what the app to show. What app is it? Show me what app that is so we can work on it. So thank you. Thank you, devs. It's perfect. I love it.
Oppie 1984 sent 4,000 sats through Fountain. Said being able to remove boosts from chapter image would be a welcome feature. I mainly listen to Boostergram Ball either while at work or when driving. If I hear an artist I like, I just screenshot the chapter art and then look them up later in my free time. Oh, that's a good idea.
Well, right now, depending on the app you use, you can just go into the on Podcast Guru. It's the V for V logo. It gives you all of the songs right there. So you can play them, boost them, stream them. I think save them soon. Fountain does this. That's the way to go. Yeah. It saves you a screenshot.
Gene Everett, 3333 through Fountain. He says, got a hard agree. I don't want anything but the podcast art displayed. I really do not like the boost popping up in place of art cover. Well, so here's, we got to talk about this for a second. Gene Bean and Franco had a discussion on email that I was included in
about back channeling. Okay. Back channel. All right. Woo.
You know Gene Bean, he's a back channeler. He's really not.
He back channeler from, yeah, from the south. From the south.
From the land of Jimmy Carter. So he said, if you have a chapter that has an image that's table of contents equals false, do you still include the chapter title along when displaying the chapter? Or do you just display the current chapter title? Should the title also be hidden if it's table of contents false?
Oh, good question, I guess.
And I'm not talking about in the chapter list. I'm talking about displayed on the screen.
Hmm.
And I kind of think it should, because you may, it may be a link. I think that's a point of clarification that we need people to.
Dreb Scott speak literally up about. Just said yes, no.
What does that mean?
I know. Chapter title should be. He said yes, no. Chapter title should be shown. I think the chapter title. So if it's a boost, should it have a chapter title? If it's not a TOC.
Well, I'm going to say that, I mean, Dreb Scott is the
chapter meister. Yeah, meister.
Yeah, he's the chief chapter architect. And, I mean, when he speaks,
we listen.
That counts for much weight. So I'm going to say yes, no, in honor of Dreb Scott.
If TOC false, chapter title and link need to be shown. He does. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, there you go. IMHO, it is your HO.
Yeah.
You are the chapter HO. Chapter HO.
It's just your O. Your opinion is chapter yes. HO. Chapter HO. Great show. Sir Truck Driver 3333 through Fountain says, if you look at the times when boosts come in after show is uploaded, you can use that info to see when listeners actually listened, assuming they boost while listening. That's trackable info for listener demographics. Absolutely.
Yes.
And well anonymized. Brian Mozzie sent us 4444 through Fountain. He says, don't love the boost images, but don't hate them. Toggling would be appreciated.
Yep.
Or at least reduce duration. Agree. 6969 from Hey Citizen.
Hey Citizen.
To Podverse. Hey Adam.
Okay.
Quick drunkagram asking, what is V for V like?
You got to read it drunk.
Yeah. Have the asshab BMI people accept to value splits for covers, samples? Are we still the persecuted minority doomed to be mocked by the people who would keep us on our knees?
What is he asking?
I don't know. He's a drunkagram.
Oh, thanks for your drink. Send more. Man. Do more. Drink more. Send more.
Roy's back. Roy Scheinfeld.
Hey, Roy. There you go. What does Roy say?
54321 through Breezy just says, Dave, please check your telegram.
That's a way to get our attention.
That's a way to get a boost. This is a good boost strategy. Just don't ever check my email or telegram and then make people boost me to remind me to check it.
I had a quick back and forth with Roy, and they're starting on wallet switching technology for the Breeze app next week.
Sweet.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. I'm very appreciative of that because, you know, they're focusing much more on being an SDK company. And and I said, hey, man, just so you know, I use the Breeze app as my actual payment app. That's my app. So I love it. And I'd love to be able to still listen to podcasts on it with music. You know, it's because I got a lot of dough sitting in my wallet there. I want to give it away.
Bunch of dough. Gene Bean, 2222, speak of the devil. Castomatic, he says, do any apps support playing any of the list medium feeds full of remote items yet, aka feeds like you described for Ainsley? I'm going to assume that one of Stephen B's apps does, because his apps do everything. So, but he would have to tell us which one. I'm thinking LN Beats probably does. But Steven will correct us. LN Beats, man,
that's an app I actually use.
Me too.
I mean, I just pop it open and just hit play on, you know, some top item, and it responds beautifully. Again, I see a lot of disconnects from Aldi, which sucks because, you know, like, how long has it been disconnected, you know?
Maybe the nature of PWAs too.
All right, we need some info on that.
Yeah. The anonymous 5,000 sats through Podverse. Ad Lucre is the stumbling block, though does cast. What? Ad Lucre is the stumbling block thou dost cast before thy brother when thou dost fail to return value for his works. Correlations 33:33.
Okay. I got you. All right. No false idols here.
Mere Mortals podcast, our buddy Kyron 2222 through Fountain. He says, thank you, Kyron. Thanks for the chat tips. Very helpful. I've also been slightly disappointed with Buzzsprout's adoption of new tags, even ones they asked for, aka Podroll. Well, they fixed it.
They did.
That problem is solved now.
That's solved.
The whole reason I moved my shows to them was for the exciting new things. The same reason I'm now moving shows over to Blueberry. Viva la tags.
Viva la tags.
I had beers with Tom and he said they've been backed up with a big project. So I think they're going to start coming out soon.
Oh, no, okay. Good.
Yeah. Let's see. We got 5150 from Orange Frog. Did you get that one?
Bounced into Breeze again. Okay. Not seen Orange Frog.
Bounced into Breeze again for this past week's listening time. Always a delight to jump into different podcast apps. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a great app.
And Delimiter, Comic Street Blogger, 32015 through Fountain. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam.
Howdy.
Please invite your listeners to visit my blog at www.csb.lol for my cartoons with buffoons and to follow me on Twitter/X at CSB. Just three letters, C, S, and B. I will follow back. Yo, CSB.
Yo, back at you, brother. Thank you.
We got some monthlies. Thanks, Comister Blogger. Got some monthlies. We got a Pedro Goncalves at $5, a Chad Farrow at $22.22. We've got a Cameron Rose at $25.
Thank you.
A Scott Jalbert at $12. And speak of the devil, Brendan at Pod Page, $25. New Media, that's Marcus Lindeskog at $1, and Mark Graham with $1. And that's our group.
Oh, thank you all so much. Value for Value is the name of the game. If you want to learn more about it, valueforvalue.info, value4value.info. It even has some handy guides there if you want to learn about it. We appreciate everything that you send us. It keeps the machine running. It keeps a nice buffer for us in case we hit some harder times so we can keep everything running, keep the podcast index alive. And of course, everything that we have in Satoshis goes onto the node and we use that for liquidity for anybody who needs it. Just hit me up, adam@curry.com or adam@podcastindex.social. And if you want to give us some fiat fund coupons, always appreciate it as well. Go to podcastindex.org down at the bottom. Big red buttons, one for Tallycoin. I know it seems like there was another Tallycoin that came in on the last show because one was 95,564 from Chimp, and then there was a 211,273 from Anonymous.
Ooh.
I don't think we mentioned the Anonymous, so I'll thank you for that. Thank you
a lot
very
of the
much.
Anonymous is from Podverse is because every time it disconnects, you got to put your name in there again.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. I sent one earlier that was anonymous.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, interesting.
That's a bug I bet Mitch will fix.
Oh, yeah. No. I love Mitch is like, hey, when did this happen? When did we do this? He's been so busy. Who's dinging? Is that you, Todd? Who's dinging?
I'm sorry.
It's all right. You've been crackling and all kinds of, there's something weird with your setup, which is odd. I'm not sure what
Halloween.
It is.
It's Halloween. Screw your
it's not Halloween.
It was a full moon a couple of days ago, too. So.
That'll That's do it. It every single time. So anything you guys want to share with us before we leave? And by the way, thank you for being here in the boardroom. We always appreciate you here.
Well, yeah, it's our pleasure, for sure.
I've got one thing. You know, Dave, last week or a week before, you said it was you weren't ready to go to war. I think what we need to do is battle armor up because... I think Adam's right. You know, every time, and I'm going to say it, so get your boost ready. Anytime someone says they have a YouTube podcast, you immediately ask them either in a comment or wherever it says, okay, where can I find you on a podcast app? And if they look at you weird, then say, hey, I'm not going to listen to your show until you're in a podcast app. And maybe we'll get these folks over some time to understand that they need an RSS feed.
Well, a lot of the general. Oh, go ahead.
And I've been telling my audience the same thing. You know, I actually said my audience, if someone tells you they've got a podcast on the name that won't be named, ask them if they, you know, if they're on a podcast app because you want to subscribe. And if they don't, then maybe at least trigger them to say, oh, what is this RSS thing? So maybe we can do it subtly without having to beat them over the head with a hammer.
I think you're right. I think you're right, Todd. Cause I mean, there's the whole thing is this. I'm of the opinion that the whole YouTube thing in general is a scam cooked up by the PIC.
I agree.
Because you read these studies and they say YouTube is the biggest app for podcasts, for people listening to podcasts. And then you read the next study that says, we know how many popular podcasts are on YouTube, like 5. Yeah. These obviously don't mesh. So somebody's lying here, because if you can't find any of your podcasts on YouTube, but your YouTube is the biggest thing for podcasting, I'm just going to have to call bullshit on that.
Yeah, but average person doesn't know the difference. Today I was at physical therapy, and I told him, you know, he asked me what I do for a living. I said, I work for a podcast company. Oh, I watch a lot of podcasts. You know, and I know he wasn't talking about, you know, wasn't talking about an actual RSS feed video.
So I follow a couple of YouTube channels that have so-called podcasts, and I've sent them a note and said, hey, I can't find you on my podcast app. Where are you guys at? And they finally responded and said, what do you mean? And I told them. So this again, I think it's on a creator side, it's a little education. The listeners are going to do what the listeners are going to do, but maybe we can get the what I would call from a Hawaii term, Akamai, the smart listeners to be able to start helping us in this crusade.
Let me tell you why that matters in the broader sense for things like this show and for the podcast community, is that these studies that are trying to conflate YouTube with podcasting, though they sure the listeners are going to do what they're going to do. But these studies are aimed at the podcast quote unquote industry.
Yes.
And it is convincing podcasters of something that is not accurate. It's telling a lie to the people who are actually doing podcasting. No other industry does this. No other industry tries to convince its members that the thing that they are is not what they are. And this doesn't work.
Except the pharma industry. True.
And we should not be fooled. They are trying to lock us back into walled gardens. We have to remember that.
All right. So here's my recommendation. Stop talking about them. This only behooves them. This is the divide and conquer strategy, which is as old as the road to Rome. Stop talking about them. That's it. You know, you want to talk about that? I've nothing to say. This is my podcast app. This is what I use. This is what I like about it. And here's the other podcast apps I use. You know, the podcast industrial complex is designed to have you, Todd, specifically you, talk about this stuff. And the more you talk about it, the more interest there is.
Well, I definitely haven't been super positive. I hope that's obvious. Yeah.
But it doesn't. All right. Thank you, Mitch D, for 5,000 sats. He says, anonymous bug should be fixed in the next release. Been talking with CSB about it. 7777 from Mike Newman, who sent us a Todd YouTube boost armor up. And then we got a 23,456 Satoshi, 23456. Was that you again, Mike? Because it says, boosting McBoost boost armor up.
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, that's interesting. How that doesn't happen often when you get armor up 2 in a row. Well, thank you, Anonymous, or someone who had a name, but the bug changed it to Anonymous. And there's Dreb Scott, 23456. Dang it. Podverse changed my boost. McBoost to Anonymous. Oh, there you go. He's up to 50,000. All right. Hey, we got to stop doing this. People are sending us too many Satoshis.
Yes.
Gentlemen, thank you both very much for being in the board, and we always appreciate you having you here. And thank you for all that you're doing to move the needle forward. I think you're really smart because I know, Todd, you had a revelation. This was about a year and a half ago, and I'm very glad you followed your gut instinct on this. I think it made a huge difference. And Mike, thank you for the yo man's job that you do. with teaching everybody this, all of the individuals who show up at your door wanting to know which mouse button to click to what is value for value. I know it's not easy.
Yeah, podcasting 2.0 tech support.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Yeah. Thank you, everyone in the chat room. Thank you, everyone at podcastingnext.social. This has been your board meeting. We will return next week on Friday again if Tiny Tim is alive. See you then, everybody. Bye-bye.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Do you know who your daddy is?